All right, today on Meet the Masculine, we have the incredible Johnny Blackburn here. And welcome, Johnny. Thank you so much for being a part of the Meet the Masculine series. I'm honored to have you. Yes, yes. So my intention with this series is to really give everyone an opportunity to connect and experience the frequency and the vibration of men who have spent a significant amount of time and invested their energy in becoming more awake and aware as a man. And being that I haven't been in a male skin suit this lifetime, I am so curious about the experience, about what your journey has been like and what you've learned along the way. So if before we dive into your story and your background, can you just let people know where they can find you and connect with your content?
People interested in speaking or coaching can go to johnnyblackburn.net, and then the majority of work and content and video courses is on presence.academy.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Can I just say one thing to your curiosity? I'm super curious too, and often in facilitating events, couples or masculine feminine events, I love to create scenarios where either it's a panel where they get to, the other gender gets to ask questions and or experiential exercises where there's a scenario they get to experience it in real time in their bodies, and then afterwards they debrief, how was that for you, what, you know, there's so much learning that can happen when we're really curious and we're like playing in an experiential space.
Yeah, I agree 100%. There's so much that can be unlocked and brought online when we can really allow ourselves to get curious and be beginners in all of this.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love that.
We just had an event a couple weeks ago. And so there was a bunch of experiential things. And one of the exercises was that after a bunch of warm-ups, but then men are standing in front of a woman and they're just deeply present, standing strong, listening. And they're asking her what you want us to respect and know about you. And like the amount of people that were opening and crying and said that was so healing for them, just to like have somebody really care to want to know and curiously to know uniquely about them. So I think discussions like these, conversations like these, experiential things like those are really an important stage in our evolution and healing.
Oh my gosh, when you explained that experience, I felt it in my heart and I felt tears coming up in my eyes because as a woman, having done some experiential work in that way, it is such a beautiful experience to be held safely by a man. And I'm not talking about held like he's hugging and holding, but really held energetically in that safe space and being witnessed is so powerful. Beautiful. Thank you for giving everyone those experiences, or at least the people who are willing to step in. Because it can be confronting too, if that is something. I remember doing that the first time and feeling like, oh my God, you know, like all of my, on a physiological level, all of my defenses and my adrenaline shot up and my nervous system just said, absolutely not.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And I think at the beginning, the context of confidentiality one, and also freedom to like not do something if it feels too uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But then with that, paradoxically, like a little bit of courage to allow yourself to be stretched. Mm-hmm. And then after each exercise, we always do a debrief. So they're not kind of going so long and there's this big buildup. Mm-hmm. But they can kind of debrief what that was like for them. Like, wow, at first, and then they described similar to what you described. And then like, and then I just went for it. And then I opened and, you know, I think there's some real evolutionary moments in those spaces of just a little bit of uncomfortability.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. It's that moment where I learned that my fear is not real, you know, where like when I really felt aligned with a facilitator or called to a specific event at a soul level, that my knowing that my fear was going to show up just to keep me in familiarity.
Yeah.
And then getting to the other side of that and seeing, oh my gosh, there's so much beauty to be experienced here when I can move beyond my fear. And there's so much love there that, and connection and just intimacy to be had beyond my fear.
Oof, so rich.
Yeah, yeah. So how did you come to this point where you're now empowering and really creating the spaces for people to have these experiences, to have these breakthroughs? How did you get here?
The quick bit, conventional kids, played sports and school and stuff. And original background is in business management consulting. Mm-hmm. I remember I had the secret spiritual side that I didn't know how to integrate. And I didn't really have a lot of people to talk to. So I was kind of reading on the side. I remember asking life, there's got to be more to life than this, one day watching the sunset. And soon after that, I had a life-changing injury. And it was through that was ended up being 4 years after a failed surgery made it a lot worse. And that was really the beginning of my transformative process that took me. It was sort of the calling in the you know, the classic hero's journey, the calling to something more. Mm-hmm. And then I couldn't look back. After I healed myself, I was really inspired. I want to help others. Mm-hmm. Went back to school, got a master's in psychology. I liked it, but I saw there was a limit just to talking, and I really liked working with somatic and working in presence. So I did a developmental coach training through Integral Coach Canada.
Okay.
And so I sort of combined the best of psychology and coaching. And it's just been a really progressive process then over the last 15 years of like really honing my skills. And I learned so much by listening and curiosity and asking people's questions and trying different things, and that doesn't work. And then we try something else, and you start to notice certain pattern and trends in the developmental process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you say, I love the phrase, your secret spiritual side. I love that, right? It's like behind closed doors, we have this pull and this really like strong inner knowing that there's got to be something more.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily make logical sense.
Right.
So when you gave yourself permission to explore that out loud and in public, how did you go about finding people that resonated with you at that point?
Well, I think first that was a multi-year process that was done in private. And I want to just speak, like, I think, have, you know, I've done men's work, facilitated men's work for the last 8 years. And I see, not in all guys, but in some guys, there's a masculine wound of, I have to have it all together before I present myself to the world. And we like this really hurts us and actually stunts our development. Mm-hmm. So I went through that myself. I had many years of like reading and training and cultivating in secret. I didn't really have a community at the beginning. And so, yeah, that was a more isolated time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you grow up with quote unquote conscious men in your world?
I mean, I grew up in the country in Central California. So, I mean, I think in one way it's really refreshing because, you know, there's a lot of people treat each other with kindness and they're sort of like a down to earth, but it's a little more conventional and not so open-minded and progressive in other ways. So while I was really close with my family and, you know, we could play and ride our bikes for hours and just had to be home by dinner, it was really safe. Mm-hmm. I came to like sort of inspiration and philosophy and spirituality definitely on my own. But I would say in a way my dad was super loving and like, and super solid. And even though as a kid, we couldn't sort of talk deep, like there wasn't so much emotional intelligence there, but you know, he was really solid in a lot of ways. I'm sort of grateful for that.
What is your definition of a conscious man?
Well, first I would say it's a process and it, rather than a discrete conscious unconscious. And even in that we can have moments of more or less consciousness. So I think there's a certain quality of awareness where I can be aware of my own interior sensations, thoughts, emotions, values, and sort of intentions. And I can also hold somebody else has a unique experience with emotions, thoughts, sensations, values, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. A lot of us tend to either leave ourselves and sort of go over to the other person's side, mm-hmm. like merging or codependent, mm-hmm. or a lot of us tend to start off sort of more self-absorbed, and I'm treating everybody like an object. Mm. So I think there's a big move when we can start to really be more aware of my own interior and someone else's, and like really like relate with humanity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's one part. Yeah. Is there another part you'd like to speak to?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at so I have a master's in psychology, so I'm very interested in development and like developmental processes, and mm-hmm. several researchers have, you know, over their 20 or 30 year career noticed that there's certain stages through which genders tend to develop through. Mm. And so some of those, David Data, Martin Usage, Alison Armstrong, there's another one, Carol Gilligan, who took Lawrence Kohlberg's moral development and say, hey, women or the feminine tends, like also has morality, but it tends to look like compassion and care less so than justice and right. And we actually need both of them in our world, but we got to honor that women, I think her work is called In Her Own Voice, that mm. women have a unique way. So I really think so much research is really, really helping us like appreciate the nuances and honor the developmental processes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I would want to say, like, you know, I think a lot of people have an association with, or let's say some women have an association with the masculine energy, but that energy can be more or less mature. So in some of its less mature forms, it's going to objectify the planet. It's going to objectify other human beings, other men competing to power over and take advantage of, to be more, to feel enough, or it's going to sexually objectify women. There's not coming from a place of humanity, not coming from a place of equality. There's not a lot of heart openness. There's not a lot of ethics and morality. There's often a fear of shame or a shadow of that. Mm. And so there's aggression is a common defense against feeling that. So either like fighting in relationship at any like request for the man to grow or look at something, and or, you know, there's a lot of aggression man to man. So that's how we often start off. And as we go through the developmental and healing process, that can mature and look really, really differently. But we can pause there.
Mm-hmm. There was something really specific you said a few minutes back, and it spoke to the spectrum of consciousness, mm-hmm. and that becoming a quote unquote conscious man or a conscious woman, sure. is not an end game. It's an unfolding process.
Right.
And what would be some reflection or some wisdom that you might share with a man or a woman who feels like they're just beginning their journey into becoming consciousness? Or into becoming conscious. We are consciousness, but like into becoming conscious.
No, this is such a beautiful question.
Mm. Thank you.
You know, as I feel into myself at the beginning of that process, and just saw a new client last night who's just beginning and not quite sure if he's really fully contacted the part of him that wants to grow. Mm. And, you know, like his authentic experience is very much more to just chill and like enjoy life. And so I hold it like there's this evolutionary impulse that the aliveness that animates us all, mm-hmm. that the evolutionary impulse can live through that. Mm. And I get the chills when I say this. And so as we, since Darwin's contribution to realizing that biology evolves, like that the plants and the animals and the human species is an evolutionary process here on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we can align with that and sort of paddle with the current, mm-hmm. or we can sort of resist that. Like there's a freedom of this, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so when the evolutionary impulse starts to sort of open us and take us or beckon us, I think the most important thing is we sort of honor where we are and then like focus on what's the next 6 to 12 months for me. Mm. That would be one thing. The mm-hmm. second thing is to have the courage to reach out and ask for support or through coaching or healing or mentorship of mm-hmm. people that have gone through the process, because it's way, way less painful. And it's a lot faster if we can like somebody, you know, have somebody walking with us, at least in the beginning, until the stream gets so strong that it's just living us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hope everyone that sees this absorbs that. I'm not sure about your experience, and you can speak to this if you'd like, but when I began my journey and I experienced my spiritual 2x4 per se, where like I felt like the universe said, sit, you know, like knocked me sideways and said, sit down. This is no longer where you're no longer moving forward this way, you know? Wow. And of course there was the internal decision of like, I'm no longer moving forward this way, you know? And in those moments, because of the way the mind works, I felt so alone. I felt like I've got to be the only person on the planet who's experiencing this. And I felt so strange or weird. And there was so much self-judgment in that moment. And then I read a book and reached out, you know, found the website in the back of the book, reached out to the woman who wrote the book. And that broke open. She became my coach. That broke open this world for me of like, oh my gosh, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
Oh my, I softened so much. And it was like this pressure was released from me because I became vulnerable and courageous enough to say, let me see, let me allow myself to be seen in this. Let me allow myself to find somebody who's walked this, even if it's 10 steps ahead of me, so that I can allow myself and give myself some grace in this process and like not have it be this really icky feeling process.
Yeah. It's so beautifully articulated.
Mm. Thank you.
And there's this quality of, is this okay that this is happening?
Mm-hmm.
And then when there's somebody by your side that says, you know, yes, I've been there too. Like the, and the relief and the clarity that happens is so relaxing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it creates so much space, like to grow, to expand. And there's this, or at least in my experience, there was this spaciousness that happened. Like, oh, okay, I can breathe again.
Yeah.
This is a human experience.
Yeah.
I'm here. I can breathe. Okay. Awesome. Let's see what can be created here.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm having the thought that they're like, I'm aware of right now three kind of points in the developmental process that can be really challenging.
Mm.
And I'd say the first one to me seems like, like it, from the conventional world, when I start to hear the call,
mm-hmm.
and then part of me thinks I'm crazy, and then part of me is like wanting to really hold on to what I've known and the security of that.
Yeah.
And yet the beckoning gets stronger and stronger, mm-hmm. or like you said, the spiritual 2x4 comes. The second, it can be if I'm growing. And my partner, if I'm really kind of growing and my pace of evolution is sort of strong, if like the stream of development is flowing stronger in me than my partner.
Mm.
And then I start to really become aware of this gap. And then there's points where my partner doesn't want to grow.
Mm.
And it's sort of this, like this tension between becoming and allowing the, you know, the evolutionary process to authentically work through me. Mm-hmm. But then also belonging and like, you know, staying in relation and connection to those that I really love and care about. And I think that can be a really existentially challenging tension for some people.
Mm. Yeah. I would love to circle back to that.
Yeah. I'll mention the third and then I want to hear.
Yeah, please do.
Then the third, I think, is when the personal self starts to fade in and out. Mm. And so then all of a sudden, then it's like awareness itself that's infinitely spacious starts to become the view. Mm. And that can be very disorienting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you explain a little bit more about number three?
Yes. So the personal self or ego for most of our lives and most humans, that's the sort of central organizing principle of the personal sense of self. Mm-hmm. It's useful to, relate in the world and connect and bond and survive emotionally and physically. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my deepest work is around healing, development, and the awakening process. Mm-hmm. So I think we're alive in a really special, special time period where we're sort of aware of the wisdom traditions from all cultures. I think technology, assuming we use it with ethics, is going to hopefully really transform the workforce and like really change a lot of our relationship with global economics and time and everything. Mm-hmm. And so this is going to allow opportunity to people on a sort of career level to really do things that they're passionate and creative about. Mm. And spiritually, that they don't have to use as much time to really in survival and scarcity mode, so they can sort of develop themselves. Mm-hmm. Part of that process is that I begin to take in information and listen to podcasts and read books and go to workshops and sort of like I'm consuming information. Mm-hmm. And then I think the second stage is we start to really embody this. And mm-hmm. I really like, cool, I know this, but I don't do this in the world. Or I had this conflict come up. Like I could have shown up differently, could have been differently. So then the second phase, I really want to embody and learn the skills and do body-based healing, not just mm-hmm. talking. Mm-hmm. And then I think, wow, I've spent so much time and effort and money to develop this personal sense of self. And now I'm having experiences where it sort of fades away. Mm. And all of a sudden, where before the extent of awareness was just in my skin, and all of a sudden it opens without a boundary. Mm-hmm. Now for some people, this process can be like little microdoses of psychedelics, and it can be really like their subtle energy or kundalini process is opening. And for some people, it's a really sort of a euphoric letting go and opening again and again and again as their nervous system is sort of rewiring to a higher level of view. Mm-hmm. And for other people, especially if they haven't done as much healing, like it's sort of like, you know, if life is trying to open their system, then the places where they're numb or blocked or there's sort of like constriction, then mm-hmm. life is trying to open this. So it can be sort of a disorienting period because, you know, all of a sudden there's not the sense of self doesn't seem so solid. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, like this pain is starting to like come up so I can open and release it. Mm-hmm. So it can go different ways, but ultimately it's sort of like that the personal self is sort of fading in and out. We're not trying to kill it or get rid of it, mm-hmm. but it's sort of like that there's a higher, there's a higher view that sort of is becoming more the baseline. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And still skillful. Like, you know, I apologize when I messed up with the scheduling, and there's still like deeper, actually it has me be more human because mm-hmm. I can actually feel more the impact on myself, the world in the moment. Mm. So just because awareness is opening, like then there's still the inclination to like be skillful in communication, kind and moral. And I think, whereas in centuries past, a lot of times we would have to go escape to the ashrams and the caves and really just develop the spiritual line. Mm-hmm. But I think now it's safer and life is giving us the opportunity to really bring this into our life and our relationships and work. And it's a really amazing time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you for expanding on that.
Yeah.
Yes.
What impacts you hearing this?
There's two words that come up for me when I reflect on what you just shared. The first is this concept of limitlessness. Like they're really, if I am associating my identity with my personality or with my physical vessel only,
right,
or only what I see in the mirror, that is so limiting for me as to what I can really create here, and even limiting in my creative process.
Yeah.
Here. And when I speak to creativity, I speak to moving my internal state of beingness and allowing that to move through me and reflect in this 3D reality that yes. we're in. I'm not necessarily speaking to like painting or writing a song or anything like that. It's really the creation of, is my external reflection an accurate depiction of what I feel moving through me and what my consciousness is? And the second thing that came through for me was practice. That this is so much of this is a practice. It's not a place to get to. It's not a destination. It's very much a dance of consciousness. And there's going to be moments where I am so present and I am expansive and I'm seeing life from that higher perspective. And then there's going to be moments where I forget, you know, I forget and I mess up. And especially in motherhood, where it's like, man, that neural pathway took over that
totally
rewire. And it requires, or it gives me the space. I'm not going to say it requires, but it gives me the space to have that really human component of myself come through and go back and say, hey, you know, like with my son, hey, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, like what mama did there, I'm not cool with that. So moving forward, here's what I'm committed to. And you know, can we renegotiate this?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. I so feel your heart in that.
Mm, thank you.
You know, there's this, there's a movement of, through social media of unapologetically being yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a stage where that's really important as we've compromised our, authenticity to sort of position ourselves in a certain way. And so right on.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, there's something so endearing and courageous about which the experience, like you just described, mm-hmm. where I sort of apologize with such like humility and open-heartedness.
Mm.
Like that really touches me so much.
Mm. It's been, that piece right there has yeah. probably been one of the most impactful growth points for me. And I, in my observation of moving people through this process and really being a witness and a coach and a facilitator of these healing and developmental processes, the value of that is so underestimated, you know, that moment where the mind is hanging on so strong. And I really love that this is going to kind of allow us the space to circle back to the point I wanted to go to in okay. relationship dynamics where, okay. you know, I'm growing and is my partner going to grow with me or are there, you know, like that dance, right?
And yeah.
and it's this undervalued, really beautiful catalytic point in relationship that I used to be so afraid of because I thought I had this programming of conflict equals ending. If I disagree with somebody, that's the end of the relationship, right?
That feels so scary.
Forward. Oh, it feels terrifying. And so there was, and for me, there was so much avoidance of conflict or just walls up. As soon as something happened, it was like walls up. I shut down. I don't know how to move through this.
Yeah.
And I feel so much guilt and shame. And what I'm really longing for internally is connection, is for you to see me
100%.
And there's a part of me that like would not allow that because of pride or fear or ego, whatever it was, you know? And when I really learned how to let the walls go and communicate with the intention of love and also from my heart space and saying, I really care about this, really deeply care about our connection.
Wow.
Is a reflection of maybe why I'm experiencing all of these intense emotions around it, because I have so much energy invested in this. Yeah. And I'm feeling this in my body and I'm not sure how to navigate it. Even just that simple sentence, I'm not sure how to navigate it. Like,
or I notice I feel numb.
Mm.
Or I notice I just shut down.
Mm.
I really work with states of presence and connection.
Mm-hmm.
And the couples therapy I was trained in really makes them the connection, the primary thing. Mm-hmm. And if you know Brené Brown's work and a lot of the neuroscience around, you know, interpersonal neurobiology, is they're saying that emotional vulnerability is the doorway to reconnecting.
Mm-hmm.
So by naming my state, it helps me to unpack it. And so when I work with couples, assuming that they do want to stay together, mm-hmm. It's an important thing to shore up that they can't threaten to end the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And because that those really, it's called primal panic, that mm-hmm. What you described in neuroscience, that it like literally can be almost terrifying, because evolutionarily, if we were, you know, hunter gatherers on the plains, if we got left, like we could die.
Yeah.
So there's this deep primal thing in our brain that's like terror alarm
mm-hmm.
if we feel disconnected. Mm-hmm. And so teaching couples how to communicate their states and help each, like the other person stay present and accepting and relaxed if the other person froze. Mm-hmm. Or if the other person got numb or shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And that they ask, you know, how are you doing over there?
Mm-hmm.
Like with their tone of their voice and their breath and their heart, that it helps the other person to like start to thaw out. And then like you described, you could have one by one gone through those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling fear. You know, now I'm feeling sad. Like I care about you so much mm-hmm. that I don't, like when we feel disconnected, you know, mm-hmm. and like the beauty of that level of kind of heart connection and communication is really life-changing for a lot of couples.
Yes. Yes. And there's this when I experience someone doing that and walking through that, it makes me, it creates this sensation of deep appreciation for that person.
That's right.
You know, it's like, it's astounding to me still how much intimacy and love can be created in this space.
Yes.
Of like, oh, I just love you so much even more now.
Yes.
If that was even possible.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Even commenting on the degrees of closeness. I feel so much closer to you now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I love the intimacy that happens in that space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something I hear from a lot of women and the women that I work with is, I'm on this path and I'm doing all this work on myself and I'm investing in a coach and he's not interested. He's not growing with me.
Right.
And it brings up this very real internal conflict in them around, there's kind of two things happening at once. One thought process is kind of unconscious and like, do I keep going? If I keep growing, will this dissolve, this relationship dissolve? And there's a lot of fear around that. And then the other train of thought is, I've got to make him grow. I've got to give him the books. I've got to take him to the workshops. I've got to enroll him. Right. And so how do you navigate that?
Well, so first I want to just agree that that's a really common phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
My appreciation of the divine feminine is that you know, for the last century or more, well, you know, even several centuries, she's been having to like gather, train, heal in secret. And there was so much, you know, so much negativity that has been done. Mm-hmm. So I want to honor the feminine rising. Mm. You know, and then voting rights and movement towards equality in the last century and entering the workforce and like so many women that have really devoted their lives to equality and having their humanity entered and feeling safe to really express the, you know, the higher potentials of their femininity in the world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we can say that I would say that the feminine has started her process a little bit before the masculine in general. Mm. This is not the case. I know many men who are doing a lot of deep work and like some amazing men, but I would just say in general, there might be more women in the world who are open to growing and developing and healing and evolving. Mm. So you get that phenomenon where sometimes in partnership that the girlfriend or the wife or partner like is sort of her stream of development is already turned on. Mm-hmm. And then there's this gap that I talked about. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the first thing, you know, the masculine kind of can have a deep wound. I mean, all of us for shame, but especially the masculine sort of like the underside of challenging and rising to the challenge and developing his best self. The underbelly of that is shame and not feeling good enough. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of guys, that's paralyzing. And then they just sort of try to hide around that or they numb out with, mm-hmm. you know, fantasy, sports, video games, mm-hmm. TV, alcohol. And that's a painful process for humanity, that process of numbing out. Mm-hmm. So when if he's extra sensitive to that and he feels criticism or shaming, it sort of can have some get more entrenched and create more distance. Mm-hmm. If what I've seen work better is if he can feel the depth of her care and love and she makes a specific request, mm-hmm. I've seen that like start to work a little bit better. Mm. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. Yes. And for the people watching, I would love to, if you have an example of what a specific request from a loving, caring place sounds like, what would that sound like?
You know, I might appreciate, or I might apologize for something where I was off or criticizing. Mm-hmm. I might like really share how much I love my partner, say that I, you know, we're in this together and, we're not perfect, but we're both growing. Mm-hmm. It's really important. Like I care so deeply about both of us. If I made a request that was really important to me, would you consider it? Mm. Could we read this book together and talk about it? Mm. Could we go to this workshop together? I'll make this request and then you can make a request for something you want to do together.
Oh, I love that.
Those are two ways.
Yes.
Because otherwise it's like, here, dipshit, read this book. Stop, you need to grow. You're messed up, you need to grow. And, you know, he can internalize it like that. Like, yeah. No, accept me as I am. I don't, yeah. You know, like, I think that's really the wound. Like, accept me as I am. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's like, we need to come from that place. Yes. And I fucking believe in you. And I see you and I love you and I want your best.
Yes.
You know? And yeah. That's why.
Yeah.
You're my man.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. And thank you for putting it in that language too, because I could see how it could definitely feel that way.
Yeah. Like,
man, I'm giving this my all.
Right.
I'm giving it everything I can right now. And I still come home and it's like, have you done this? Are you going to do this? Can we do, you know, like demand, and how that could possibly be internalized as like,
yeah.
Wow, I'm still not good enough. I'm still not good enough. I'm still not delivering. You know, I'm still underperforming or whatever that might be. And I appreciate you for giving us some examples of like mm-hmm. how we can drop into. And I think this is so important too, that it's not a what Johnny just said is not a script. It's really something that, like, drop into your heart first.
Yes.
You know, like, take it from up here and drop it into the body and really feel that, like, feel that love that you have for that person. Feel that desire. Really feel that vision that you have for your relationship, right? And then deliver a message like that authentically, and see what unfolds. You know.
I completely agree with you. Thank you for that. When I'm working with couples, I really am attuned to the nuances of when their hearts are more or less open. And, you know, when she speaks from that place, like, I just see a guy, you know, their hearts melt. And they get a little stronger and taller.
Yeah.
And when it comes from sort of like criticism or nag, they'll just stoic and shield up.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
You know?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And I can recall, like, in my days where I was really, like, in my defenses, you know, I'd be like, well, I want this,
yeah,
you know, and it would be like, okay, that's not, like, that's not softening anyone, you know,
yeah.
You know, or like, I would be so angry. It would seethe out of me, you know, like, yeah, that space where it's like, mom is so mad, the house can feel her anger. It's
totally
so, like, and so I appreciate that, you know, the body has so much intelligence and is such a source,
yeah,
of also, like, spaciousness and grounding that we can drop into it and really allow ourselves to feel and be present,
yeah,
with how deep and how inherently we all are craving at a very basic level that love, that connection. It's under everything, like, man or woman, under
man
everything.
Man or woman, as strong and powerful as we can be, the hearts are so tender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much for presencing all of this today. Thank you for your wisdom, for the work that you do. It was a pleasure really hearing all that you've walked through, all that you've created, and really, really just hearing your heart and experiencing that. It's such a gift to me and to everyone watching. So thank you.
An honor. I so appreciate the depth of your questions and your capacity to listen and your beautiful heart and the work that you do in the world. And I think what I most want people to remember is that we're all in this together, and can we come from the place of humanity and co-equals, and then, you know, with acceptance and also maybe a little challenge, like, can we remember that we're all in this healing and evolving and awakening together?
Mm-hmm. Yes to that.
Yes to that.
Beautiful. Please remind people where they can find you.
JohnnyBlackbird.net for coaching and for video training and lots of content and resources. Presence.academy.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Johnny.